भजे वासुदेवाया
Exactly the verse I was thinking of speaking on, I opened at that page. Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 16, text 24, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Tasmat chastram bhavanam te kaya kaya vyavasticho gyatra shastra vidhanoktam karma kartame harahasi. One should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. Srila Prabhupada's purport, as stated in the 15th chapter, all the rules and regulations of the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. If one understands Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, engaging himself in devotional service, he has reached the highest perfection of knowledge offered by the Vedic literature. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this process very easy. He asked people simply to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to engage in the devotional service of the Lord and eat the remnants of foodstuff offered to the deity. One who is directly engaged in all these devotional activities is to be understood as having studied all Vedic literature. He has come to the conclusion perfectly. Of course, for the ordinary persons who are not in Krishna consciousness, or who are not engaged in devotional service, what is to be done and what is not to be done must be decided by the injunctions of the Vedas. One should act accordingly without argument. That is called following the principles of Shastra or scripture. Shastra is without the four principal defects that are visible in the conditioned soul: imperfect senses, the propensity for cheating, certainty of committing mistakes, and certainty of being illusioned. These four principal defects in conditioned life disqualify one from putting forth rules and regulations. Therefore, the rules and regulations as described in the Shastra, being above these defects, are accepted without alteration by all great saints, acharyas, and great souls. In India, there are many parties of spiritual understanding. That's called an understatement. In India, there are many parties of spiritual understanding, generally classified as two, the impersonalist and the personalist. Both of them, however, lead their lives according to the principles of the Vedas. Without following the principles of the scriptures, one cannot elevate himself to the perfectional stage. One who actually therefore understands the purport of the Shastras is considered fortunate. In human society, aversion to the principles of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all fall downs. That is the greatest offense of human life. Therefore, Maya, the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always giving us trouble in the shape of the threefold miseries. This material energy is constituted of the three modes of material nature. One has to raise himself at least to the mode of goodness before the path to understanding the Supreme Lord can be opened. Without raising oneself to the standard of the mode of goodness, one remains in ignorance and passion, which are the cause of demoniac life. Those in the modes of passion and ignorance deride the scriptures, deride the holy man, and deride the proper understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They disobey the instructions of the spiritual master, and they do not care for the regulations of the scriptures. In spite of hearing the glories of devotional service, they are not attracted. Thus, they manufacture their own way of elevation. These are some of the defects of human society which lead to the demoniac status of life. If, however, one is able to be guided by a proper and bona fide spiritual master who can lead one to the path of elevation to the higher stage, then one's life becomes successful. Here the word therefore is used. Therefore, the word is used always in opposition to another statement. This is the last verse of the 16th chapter of Gita. So Krishna says that one should therefore act according to rules and regulations. So the word therefore here is to be understood, tasmat. The word therefore is to be understood in relation to the rest of this chapter. In the beginning of the chapter, Krishna has described what are the Daivi Sampat, Dambi Sampat Vimokshaya, the divine qualities which lead to moksha. Daivi Sampat Vimokshaya, not simply moksha, but Vimoksha. Vimoksha means going back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world, to Krishna, as opposed to the general concept of moksha, which is one of impersonal liberation. So the divine qualities, abhayam sattva-saṅśud, here jnana-yoga-vivastati, the description of so many divine qualities are there. But in the rest of the chapter, Krishna describes the demoniac attitude. Dambo, darpo, abhimanascha, krodha, parasham, evacha, ajnana, these are the bad qualities which the demons, the asuras, these are their basic nature. Dambha means puffed up. Darpa means conceit. Dambha means pride. Darpa, abhiman, you can all understand. Dambha, darpa, abhimana cha, krodha. Parasha means harsh, cruel speech. Ajnana, these are the qualities of the demons. So Krishna goes on to describe throughout the chapter what is the nature of the demons, what is their philosophy, what does it lead to, how do they live their life. Chintana parimayamcha, they're fully, simply full of anxieties. For all their being proud, they're simply always full of anxieties. And they perform all kinds of bad activities which are not beneficial for them or for anybody else. They're simply destructive. They're destructive to the whole universe and of no benefit whatsoever. And Krishna summarizes and says that these demoniac qualities, kama, krodha, tata, lobhas, they lead to hell. What is the ultimate result? They lead to hell. Trividham narakasvedam, dwaram nashanam atmana. They nashanam atmana, the quality of the soul, service to Krishna, that is covered over, and one simply goes to hell. So Krishna brings the chapter to an end by saying that if you can become free from lust, greed and anger, then you can perform activities which are conducive to self-realization, and then ultimately you can tatoyati param gatim, you can go to the Vaikuntha, you can go to the Supreme Param Gati. So then just to the last two verses of this chapter, Krishna just brings the summary. With the demoniac people, they don't follow the orders of scripture. They act according to their own whims. So what do they get? What is the result? Nasasiddhim. They don't attain perfection. Nasasiddhim avapnoti. Nasukham. They're not happy. And naparamgatim. They don't attain the ultimate goal of life. Tasma, then we come. What is the point? Krishna is speaking this whole chapter. Tasma shastram pramana. Therefore, kaya kaya vivastito. And you should act according to shastra. So how will you act according to shastra? Gyatva shastra vidhyana uttam. First of all, you have to know what is in shastra. Then you can kartam kama iharasi. Then you can act according to shastra. You have to know what is Shastra. What is there? So what is Shastra? There's so many rules in Shastra. That is called great ocean of Shastric injunctions. Practically, just like lawyers in the court, one can bring out one law and someone will bring another law contradicting that. So it's like that. If you bring out one Shastric rule, you can bring out another one which will apparently contradict that. Because there are so many Shastric rules. Then how are you to understand? Therefore, Guru is required to say, this is required for you. So Guru is who? Guru must be Vaishnava. Because what are all these rules meant for? The Vedas are meant for understanding Krishna. Vaidaisya sarva aham eva vedya. Ved means knowledge. And vedya means the object of knowledge. What is the point? What is the purpose? You can learn so many things. Just like now, if you go for some job in India, they'll ask you what stupid things are going on TV, or who's got the Limca record for balancing the most number of bottles on his nose, or some stupid thing. And this is supposed to be an intelligence test. Who's the greatest sportsman in the history of India? So what is the point of knowledge? You're studying so many things. Here, Manipal is famous as a place of knowledge. But what is the point? There are so many things. Knowledge is unlimited. At every second, you see, if you want to make a history, you can write a history of this room, not to speak of the history of India. You can write a history of Haripriya, Hayagriva Naga, Indrali, front room. We can. At such and such a time, Sandilya walked in, he took one step to the right, which covered this particular area, then he took another step to the left. At the same time, his eyes were moving this way. I mean, just to describe how someone walks from here to there, you could probably write a PhD thesis. How the different muscles were moving and the impulses from the brain. You could write a whole PhD. Just on the tiniest thing. There's so much to... Even if you take science, someone says, I'm studying science with it. You go in, just like in science, there's so many different doors you can enter. Basically chemistry, biology, physics, math, and geology, and then you break biology, zoology, and botany, and then you get into medicine, and then specialization, until you get someone who's specializing in something and no one else in the world is doing it. Specializing in the nocturnal habits of Brazilian three-legged grasshoppers, something like that. So there's so much knowledge. There's so many things. But what's the point? I read some book, some scientist, he spent his whole life, he got some research grant, somehow or other, someone was crazy enough to give him a research grant. He spent 20 years putting worms into a tube with water and then passing some electric current and observing their reaction. He spent 20 years doing that. Putting worms and then different temperatures of water and different charges of current, and then what is their level of consciousness? And he had some theory, and at the end, 20 years of studying, he came to the conclusion that his theory was wrong. 20 years of his life. So there are so many things you can know. But what is the purpose of knowledge? What is the real thing to be known? Krishna, Adeshta Sarve, Aham Eva Vidyaha. The purpose of knowledge is to understand Krishna. But in the Vedic literature, the whole purpose of that is to understand Krishna. But Krishna is also described as Vidishu Durlabham. If you think, I will go to the bookshop and I will buy a book called The Vedas, translated by someone into English, because these days no one knows Sanskrit. So Max Muller, The Vedas, Great Books of the East, reinterpreted by Max Muller. So you can read the Vedas, and you may say, oh, there'll be so many theories. Different people have different theories. What is the purpose of the Vedas? But actually, the Vedas can be understood simply by reading them. In fact, here in Gita, Krishna says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas mostly deal with the Triguna, the three modes of material nature. If you pick up, you'll see. There's mostly some prayers praising some, maybe Indra or Varuna or Agni, and promising elevation to the heavenly planets. You say, well, I don't see Krishna. And where is Krishna? What's the, you see, according to, if you study the Vedas, you may think that it's some rituals for placating a multi number of gods. There are many gods. That's why people say there are so many gods in Hinduism. But what is the point? What is the purpose? Actually, it's all the Vedas are meant for understanding Krishna. Vedeshya Sada, Aham Eva Vedya. वेदे रामायणे चैव पुराणे भारते तथा आदवन्ते च मध्ये च Hari sarvatra gyate. In the beginning, middle, and end of all the Vedas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas, everything. Only Krishna is glorified. That's the only purpose. But there are different sections of the Vedas which are for elevating people in different modes of nature. It's just like many times we see students like yourself, they're becoming Krishna conscious. And they go home to their parents and tell them, stop eating meat, stop eating onions, garlic. And parents say, hey, what happened? You became crazy. All your life you've been eating these things, now you're calling me a demon. You were also eating it yesterday. What happened? So they're not ready to understand. That's why we recommend you introduce gradually. If you simply come and tell people, you come and tell, they have no idea why or what. You simply, all their life, their mother cooked for them meat. And they also, their friends and everyone, they don't know anything else. So you simply come to them, don't eat meat. They can't understand. So simply if you say, bring the Vedas, and okay, never mind all of it, just surrender to Krishna. What is the conclusion? Sava dhamam parityaja mam ekam sharanam. Surrender to Krishna. But if we simply tell people that, we simply walk into the street, someone's walking along, excuse me, Savadhaman Paritya Jami, surrender to Krishna. You just, you can't digest it. You're not ready. You have to give step by step. Even step by step, it may be lifetime by lifetime. He may gradually be gradually elevated. So the Vedas are there, they take people, whichever level you are at now, be at that level and come up gradually. You see here it says, knowing the rules and regulations of the scriptures, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. Gradually means that it's not easy to get free of our contamination for millions of lifetimes. We have so many material attachments. Therefore, the Vedic process is there. If you're very attached to the body, then you can do yoga exercises in which you feel your muscles feel very exercised, and you can roll this different exercise. You can roll the muscles in your stomach and make your digestion very strong, and you can have great sense control and just eat a tiny bit of food every day, and in this way you can feel you're in control of your body. Or if you're very addicted to all kinds of intellectual processes, you can become a jnani and study the Upanishads. Or most people, they're interested in material enjoyment, so you can do so in a pious way by following the Vedic rituals. You can enjoy life in a heavenly planet. But that isn't actually the purpose of the Vedas. Because all these things, they cannot actually bring you happiness. Because this material world, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of all the Vedas. Krishna explains that this material world is miserable. Dukhalaya. It's the place of misery. So you can't be happy in this material world. You can only be happy if you surrender to Krishna. So all the rules and regulations are meant to gradually elevate people to that point. If people are they're addicted to, we can enjoy in the heavenly planets. All right, let us do some yajna, let us act in a pious way, that we can enjoy. So by following the Vedic rules and regulations, you become materially pious. But your real benefit will be, is if you follow the rules and regulations that makes you pious, then when a real saintly person, a devotee of Krishna, comes and tells you from Bhagavad Gita, yes, you can enjoy in the heavenly planets, but what happens after all when you go there? You can enjoy tremendous material happiness compared to what's here on this earth. Vishala sukh, Krishna says in Gita. But then what happens? Ketam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam kshine punye mahatya lokam vishant. Evam tai dhamam anuprapana gata gatam kama kala labhante. that you, by following the Vedic processes, you can go up. But again, when your punya is worn out, you come down. That's all. You're just like you're enjoying, you earn money, you spend it, you enjoy it. As long as you have money, you can go to the restaurant and they'll say, yes, sir. Treat you very respectfully. But as soon as the money runs out, they'll say, you see that door, sir? That's for you. Get on the other side of it. Get out. So it's like that in the heavenly planets. As long as your punya is there, you're enjoying. And one day someone taps you on the shoulder. What happened? Your punya finished. Get out. Then you come back to earth, and again you perform some yajnas, and again you go up. And then, so what happens, because this material world, it's a place of impurity. So even going to the heavenly planets, you know, it doesn't mean you're purified. You're still calm, cold, love, all those things are there. So even there, you can perform some pap, and then all your punya will be finished. You see? Indra, sometimes, because he's always afraid the demons are attacking him, so sometimes he even performs Brahma Hatya. Then again he has to come, then Nahush will come. A very pious king takes his place. Then again he becomes puffed up and thinks, I'm Indra, so he insults all the rishis. Then he becomes a snake. You can read all these things in Mahabharata. How someone is becoming Indra and making some offense and falling down. So then they bring another, and then he also makes an offense and he falls down. So where's the fun? Simply going up and coming down. But the real purpose of all the Vedic injunctions is to understand Krishna. All the rules and regulations are there simply to lead us to the point of understanding Krishna. And if we do understand Krishna, that means if we love Krishna, not understanding. It's not, when we say understand Krishna, it doesn't mean like it's Krishna's some mathematical problem. That, yes, now I understood Krishna. Okay, what's the next subject? Not like that. You can't understand Krishna fully. But understand Krishna means to understand he is Prabhu and we are Das. That means to understand Krishna. And what kind of Prabhu? Not with a whip. Not like that. In the Western country, in Christianity and Islam, they have this idea, you should fear God. But we should love God. If you have to fear your father, you're such a rascal that the only way he can keep you in line is by punishing you. Well, that's better than being a complete rebel, that the father's stick is there to control you. But better is that you love your father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, even in Christianity, Jesus taught, hallowed be thy name. He's teaching them to do Sankirtan, but they couldn't understand. So, loving Krishna, that is the essence. Smartavya satatam Vishnu. Vismartavya najatu chit. Sarva viti nishedasya etaya eva kinkaraha. In Padma Purana it is stated that all the rules and regulations in scriptures are subservient to two rules, which are, always to remember Krishna, and rule number two, never to forget it. Which means the same thing, but just for giving some emphasis. Always to remember Krishna. So for one who remembers Krishna, actually he doesn't have to follow any other rule, because he's achieved the perfection of life. That's why we say the gopis are the topmost devotees, because they broke all the rules. They broke all the Vedic rules to serve Krishna. Of course, that can't be imitated. But the point is that their demonstration of their love for Krishna, that their shame and whatever it may be, they broke all the rules for Krishna's pleasure. So that requires very high level of devotion. That means the highest rule is to satisfy Krishna, and for that purpose, if you have to break some other rule, that's a very high level of devotion. There's one story told in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mostly he was chanting and dancing in great ecstasy, and he would always forget time and he would forget everything, just he'd be absorbed in ecstasy. chanting the names of Krishna. So usually they had, because the other devotees, after several hours of ecstatic dance, they feel their bodies just very tired. Often he would start kirtan early in the morning, and other people had to do their household duties and everything, and eat, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never thought about those things. He was just dancing, and so they would stop the kirtan. So one by one, they'd stop everyone chanting. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, only by himself, and all of a sudden he'd move. What happened? Everyone stopped chanting. And then we started chanting at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's already midday. So, oh, okay. And then he'd go and take his bath, and they would bring prasad. So his servant's name was Govinda. So of course this is all lila. We should never think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an ordinary person. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken his prasad, he was staying in one room. You can still see in Puri. That room is called Gambhira. Just one room he was staying in. So when he finished his prasad, he was so tired from the dancing, he simply fell down in the doorway and lay down for going to sleep. In the meantime, his servant, Govinda, had taken the prasad and had cleaned the floor, and he used to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's legs for a few minutes every day after. He would take a little rest. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the doorway. His body was in the doorway. So Govinda said, "Could you just move to the side, because I have to come inside to massage you." He said, "I can't move." "How can I massage you?" "I don't know. Do whatever you like. I can't move." His body was there, and he had to... You see, the doorway was there, and just the top part of his body was covering the doorway. So he couldn't... So Govinda thought, what to do? I can't step over the body of Lord Chaitanya, but I have my service to do. So he took this cloth from his top part of his body, covered Lord Chaitanya's body, offered his obeisances, crossed over, then massage. So Lord Chaitanya, after half an hour, he woke up and said, why are you still here? You should go to take your prasad. What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I had to massage. I came inside to massage you, but I couldn't go out because your body was covering the door." He said, "Well, how did you come in?" So in his mind, Govinda said that, "I could cross your body, I can make millions of offenses to serve you, but I'm not for my own sense gratification, and I'll go to take my prasad." So this is a devotee. He knows what to do, what not to do. You see, even in serving Krishna, there may be sometimes some conflict of interest. You see, Mother Yashoda, she's boiling the milk for Krishna. Mother Yashoda goes to much difficulty to get the best milk for Krishna, because she's always afraid, if I don't give Krishna the best milk and butter, he'll go to someone else's house and steal it all. It's shameful for me that I'm the Vrindavaneshwari. My husband is the Nanda Maharaj, the king of Vrindavan, and I'm his wife, and my child is stealing from someone else's house. They'll think I can't give him proper food. So she keeps up. She has thousands of cows. She keeps the best cows and gives them all the best grass, so very nice milk comes. And she keeps that specially for giving to Krishna, for making the butter and everything. So she's boiling the milk. Same time Krishna is playing somewhere else. So she's only boiling the milk for Krishna. And same time Krishna is calling out, "Hey, come and feed me, come and feed me. Give me your best milk." So she's boiling the milk for Krishna, and Krishna is also calling her. So there's a conflict of interest. Both things she's doing for serving Krishna. So she said to Krishna, "Just wait a few minutes, otherwise all the milk will boil over." In the meantime, Krishna became angry. "What's this? I'm calling you to feed him, you're not feeding him." He breaks the pot. So then Mother Yashoda ties him up. Damodar Leela. So the point is, she's thinking what to do. There's conflict of interest, even in the service of Krishna. So you have to see what is the best thing to do for satisfying Krishna. That always think of Krishna in devotional service, all the rules They are according to two principles. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. We have to accept that which is favorable for devotional service and reject that which is unfavorable. You see, there are so many rules and regulations. But how will we know which one to follow at a particular time? Now, of course, Guru is there to tell you. But Guru may not be there every moment. Sometimes you have to make some decisions based on Guru's instruction and the understanding of how to please Krishna. So we have to see what is the most favorable thing for serving Krishna. Sometimes we may also misestimate, because you can never understand what's going to happen in this world. You may think, well, shall I... Sometimes there's a situation, the devotees are preaching in some country, it becomes a very dangerous situation with war or something like that, so they have to choose. Shall we stay and preach, or shall we leave? It's a very good situation for preaching in the war. The people are afraid, but at the same time it's dangerous. We're not afraid of dying, but we don't want to die now, we want to do some more preaching before we go. So sometimes you make a decision, you don't know what's going to happen. It sometimes happens that our devotees, they were preaching in some country during some war, and the army came and shot them. What happened? Killed them. So sometimes it may be difficult to know what to do. But the basic injunction is there that we have to act for the satisfaction of Krishna. Now, in a normal situation, what to do, that is governed by the rules and regulations. There's also abnormal situations. Just like we read in Shastra how sometimes Vishwamitra, Rishi, he was eating dog's flesh. Not in normal circumstance, but when there was nothing else to eat, in a famine, to maintain the body, he was doing that. Not that he would normally do that, but that's called apadharma. Means in a time of emergency, you may do something unusual. But in the normal circumstance, what rules and regulations to follow, they're given. Now, rules and regulations, here Krishna is talking about Shastra Pramana, the rules and regulations of scripture. So, basically, these rules and regulations govern life according to the varnashram system. How one should act according to his varna and ashram. There are different rules for people in different situations. And varna and ashram, that refers to those in the male form. And for those in woman form, there's three dharma. So, three dharma, that's for women. And that, of course, is also modified by the varna of their husband. That wife of a brahmana, her duty is somewhat different to that of a wife of a kshatriya, and so on. So these are the basic rules of the varnashram system, which govern human behavior in a very scientific way. And the varnashram system is meant for Vishnu Aradha. Varnashram Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Aradhate Pumsa Nanyatapto Shakaranam. In the Vishnu Purana it said that all the Varnas and Ashrams, they are meant for Vishnu Aradhana. That is the purpose. Otherwise, someone may be strictly following Varna and the Varnashram Dharma system. But if he's not worshipping Krishna, then what is the use? What is the purpose? Just like we see, Ravana was also learned Brahmana, Hiranyakashipu. They are both Rishiputras. They are both learned. They both performed tapasya. But they were demons because they were against the sense of subordination to Vishnu. Dhobhuto sarge loke smin Daiva Asura Evacha Vishnu Bhakta Bhavet Daiva Asura Sat Siddharyaya. This is also from Padma Purana, similar to Gita verse, which says there are two basic kinds of people in this world. One is called Deva. Deva means Vishnu Bhakta. And who is the opposite is called Asura. Jarasandha is another example. He was famous for giving charity to Brahmins. He also used to have an arrangement for worshipping Shalagram Srila. But when Vishnu himself came in front, he wanted to kill him. He was always trying to kill Krishna. He's a demon. Even though he's following the rules and regulations of the Varnashram system. So rules and regulations of the Varnashram system are there. In the modern age, it's very difficult to follow all these properly. According to Varnashram system, then, if you're going to maintain, in Varnashram, especially for the Brahmins, this Shuddhi Vichar, this is very important. Maintaining purity. That's why this Aspriyata, this has come, untouchability. The idea is that why some castes were considered untouchable? Because those who eat meat, or those who drink wine, those who are not, don't follow the rules and regulations of civilized sexual interaction, they're unclean. By their body is unclean, their consciousness is unclean, their breath is unclean because there's meat and alcohol and all these things. So they were considered untouchable from that point of view. Because the Brahmin, he has to worship Vishnu, so for that he has to maintain purity. So later that was misunderstood and it was simply made some kind of stigma for the lower caste. But the point was that the Brahmins, they had to maintain purity, shuddhi vichar. Purity, they had to always be taking bath, then chanting mantras for purification, because they had to worship Vishnu. One has to maintain purity for that. But in the modern age, you can't maintain that purity. It's not possible. You see, previously, they would only take water from a certain well, and then, now you see in the modern age, even if you have a well, the well water will not be good for drinking. It'll be contaminated by underground sewage or something. Actually, well water is very, in the town, it's very dangerous. So there are so many different things that I'm always saying. If you have the attached bathroom in your home, then the whole house becomes equivalent to a latrine. So how you take bath and you're taking bath, but you're still, according to the rules of Shuddhi Vichar, you're still apavitra. Because you took bath in the latrine. The whole house is the same as latrine. The place for stool and urine should be one bow shot minimum from any residence. And when you go, you pass your stool, everything, then you come into the river. There on the spot, you bring your water pot, you clean everything with earth. All these things. So many times. You have to wash your hands. How many times? Different shastras will say some. Minimum 7 times with earth. And your feet. You have to wash everything. You have to wash. Then you go to the river, take bath. How you take bath also. It's not just turn on the shower. You have to up, down. You have to say so many different mantras you have to chant. Then again, coming to the house, you have to say Achaman, put on tilak, again Achaman, so many things, tying the shika, then only you're considered pure. So who can maintain all these things in the modern age? Not possible. Therefore, Harirnama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalonas, Javanas, Javanas, Javan, Gatiram Yata. In Kali Yuga, you can't follow all the rules and regulations, therefore, chant Hare Krishna. Chant the name of Hari. That will make up for all other discrepancies. Still there are rules and regulations of bhakti. Because chanting, that is the essence, but to maintain our purity, to help us become free from sinful activities and sinful thoughts, we have to create an environment which is favorable for bhakti. Favorable for chant, so the chanting will have fruition. There are different rules. Rise early. That's not only in bhakti. Anyone in the Varnashram system, they should rise early because everyone has to do puja. So the morning time is the proper time for that. Puja is also should be done. Actually, can be done all the day, morning, evening, midday, or at least morning and evening, or at least in the morning. But in the morning, that is the time for jap, dhyana, puja, path, is the most important time. That is the time when the sattva gun, the mode of goodness, is most prominent. So one should rise early. He should, first thing on rising, what should he do? Remember Vishnu by chanting his names. Then taking bath, applying tilak. Tilak also, say the names of Vishnu. Then engage in mangalarti. And so these are the rules and regulations. There are other rules, important rules. To associate with devotees, not to associate with non-devotees. So a pure devotee of Krishna, he can go anywhere and not be affected by bad association. Even he can go to hell. Hell means where the most sinful people are living. But if he goes to hell, he will purify them. There are stories in the Nrisimha Purana, how Narad Muni sometimes went to hell and told the people, chant the names of Hari, and they all went, immediately left hell and went to the heavenly planets. So, pure devotee, he's not affected in any circumstance. Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father, but he was not disturbed. But we are near, for most devotees, they're not on the level of Prahlad Maharaj. Stories he's given in Bhagavatam to give us inspiration to come to that level. But we're very neophyte, our mind is flickering. Chanchalam hi manah Krishna. Our mind is, one moment we're thinking, yes, I have to fully surrender to Krishna. And the next second we're thinking about some nonsense. This is the mind, like this. Not fixed. So to fix the mind on Krishna, the rules and regulations are there to follow so that we may be gradually elevated. Gradually elevated. Actually, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it's not so gradual. Usually it may take many, many lifetimes to become Krishna conscious. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, who is the most fallen, they can also come up very quickly. Dino hino jato chilo harinami udharilo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by teaching the holy names of Krishna, has lifted up the most sinful. And that's still going on all over the world today. People, you wouldn't think they could possibly be devotees of Krishna. I know, in my case, everyone I knew before was shocked. How does he become a religious? Him? Shocked. That's the evidence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The most unlikely candidate. They become Krishna conscious. But some level of gradual progress is there. It doesn't happen overnight. Because the material contaminations, they're coming from many, many, many millions of lifetimes. Material contamination, that you have to perform to take birth as a worm in stool. Actually, ordinary sinful activities, you can't, don't qualify you for such a horrible position. You have to be a Vaishnava Aparadhi. Then only can you fall to such a low position. But he's also thinking, I'm enjoying, because in whatever species of life you're in, you think, I'm enjoying. You see the pigs? They're quite happy. They're thinking, oh, it's very nice. Mm-hmm. Every morning I go out in the field and these nice people come and give me my breakfast. Fresh, steaming, hot. Life is wonderful. They're thinking it's enjoyable. How much illusion. The worm in stool also. He's thinking, life is so wonderful. Nice stool. If you take the worm in stool out of stool, he'll crawl back. What are they doing? Spoiling my enjoyment. So they're thinking, this is whatever species of life you're in, you think, I'm enjoying. We've been thinking like that for millions of lifetimes. So then, to change that attitude requires purification. Otherwise, sometimes even within Krishna consciousness, that enjoying spirit comes. It can manifest in different ways. Just like you may be cooking for Krishna's pleasure, but you're thinking, well, after Krishna's enjoyed it, I'm going to enjoy it too. Then that's Maya. Then you're not cooking for Krishna. Of course, after Krishna has enjoyed, Krishna is so kind, he lets us enjoy. But if you're cooking and thinking like that, that's not bhakti. But that can come. That spirit can come. Or in more subtle ways also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned the devotees against labh puja pratishtha vancha. That by performing devotional service, people who are pious, they'll think, let me give some donation. So then if you think, all right, now I have different invitations to visit different houses. If I go to that one, I'll get more donation. Okay, let me go there. Actually, in our Krishna Consciousness Movement, we're also dealing in lots of money because we're building temple to Krishna. But if we think, let me take some of this money and enjoy it for myself, then Maya is tempting. If you're very careful. So, La Puja Pratishtha, people will worship me, people will praise me. If you become attached to that, that probably... Now you're just beginning in this. So you're not finding people praising you. Maybe you're finding the opposite. People are saying, what nonsense you're doing. But then among the society of devotees, you see, I'm sitting here and you're all listening to me. And you're saying, Bhakti Vikas Swami Ki Jai. So if I say, yeah, Ki Jai, they should say Jai more loudly. If you think they should praise me, then I become fallen. It's very dangerous. But if you think, yeah, they're praising me, why? Because I'm trying to serve my guru. So all the praise is meant for him. In other words, what Prabhupada said, that the guru is like a tax collector. That he collects, but he doesn't keep for himself. So people are praising, they're offering things to him, but he doesn't use for his own sense gratification. He offers everything to Krishna. So if he has that mood, then he can guide others. But if he thinks, oh, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, then that's not Krishna Bhakti. Then he can't inspire others. So it may be very dangerous, even in practicing Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example. He says that bhakti is like a lata, means creeper. Lata, you all know this word, right? It grows up, not on its own strength. If it simply grows without some support, it won't go up. It'll simply go along the ground. The nature of a creeper, it tries to come up towards the light. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that bhakti is like a lata. So the strength on which it grows up is guru, sadhu, shastra. Grows up on this. So it grows up and grows up, and eventually reaches up to Golok Vrindavan, and then the fruits come. What is the fruit? Krishna prema phala, love of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that you have to, first of all, you have to plant the seed of that creeper. So you have to plant, when you plant it, you have to water it. What is the water? Shravan Kirtan, hearing and chanting about Krishna. But you also have to put a fence around, otherwise some animals may come and eat it or destroy it. It means people may come and try to discourage you in so many different ways. Don't chant Hare Krishna, or don't practice bhakti, or this guru is no good. They may say so. They may try to discourage you in so many ways. We have to make a fence. That means you have to be careful to avoid offenses. And you have to be careful about attacks from those who try to destroy our bhakti. But one thing, anyone who ever did any gardening, they will know, or agriculture, you know, if you pour the water, that not only the seeds come up that you want, but also weeds come up. So these are the kind of weeds. You have to take them out. This desire for love, puja, pratishta, and there are others also, that nishidata, performing activities which are forbidden, which are against the scriptures. Kukinati, diplomatic behavior, showing yourself to be a great devotee, but actually trying to exploit people or confuse them. Nishidata, kutinati, jive hingshan, to be cruel to others in the name of devotional service. La puja pratishta jata upashakagana. There are many different kinds of diversions. Now one thing is that sometimes the plant that you want and the weeds, they look the same. So it may appear that someone is performing devotional service. They're chanting, Priyam Sila. In many ways it appears the same, but actually it's a weed. It's not the real plant. It doesn't give love of Krishna. So devotee has to be very careful to distinguish what is actually devotional service and what is not. And the weed you have to take out when it's just beginning. Otherwise it can be very difficult later on to take it out. You may not even recognize in your own heart that the weeds are there. You may think it's all the same thing. So therefore, these rules and regulations of devotional service are required. Rules and regulations are required. That also has to be done under guidance. Otherwise, if you don't know how to apply them, then you may end up in trouble. Just like there was a story, one veterinary surgeon. He took one apprentice. So they were going for different cases, visiting animals. They came to see one horse. They were called to see one horse. He had a big swelling in his throat. So the veterinary surgeon got a stick and beat. And gradually that swelling became down to nothing and the horse was all right. So after some time the apprentice went off and said, well, now I spent some time with the... I already know everything. I don't need to stay anymore. I learned everything. So he came to some... He was called and there's some horse with a big swelling in his throat. He said, I know what to do with it. So he got a stick and beat, and the horse died. He said, what happened? When my teacher did that, then the horse got better. When I did it, the horse died. So then they called his teacher. He said, you fool. The horse I beat had a melon stuck on his throat. That's why I beat it, and it became collapsed. And then he was all right. But this horse had some what's that called? Goiter, that's right, yes. So you beat and he simply died. He's simply beating it. And he died of the wound. So you may think, well, I know what to do. But unless you're actually experienced in understanding Shastra and how to apply it, then you may misapply it to your own detriment and to the detriment of others. Very subtle thing. So the basic point is there. We should follow rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness to become purified. But some guidance is required also. Otherwise, we may make a disaster in the name of becoming Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Where's that book, Nectar of Devotion?
You can see in there. There are 64 rules of devotional service. They help to stabilize the mind by fixing the mind on Krishna. Actually, among the 64, five are very important, which are sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, nama kirtan, bhagavat shravan, dear Srimad Bhagavatam, mathura vas, living in Mathura, and shradhai shri murtiya sevan, and to worship the deity with great faith. There are many rules. Most important is chanting the name of Krishna, associating with devotees, hearing this philosophy, studying. Then deity worship also, and Mathura Vas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's recommended. That may not be possible for everybody. Anyway, you have Udupi Vas, Krishna has come here. And we should make our heart Mathura. Krishna appeared in Mathura. Krishna is everywhere, but he appeared specifically in Mathura. So Krishna is everywhere. We should make our heart pure so that Krishna will be pleased to appear there. Otherwise, you can see that nature of devotion. That gives some idea of these things. He wasn't trying to say, he said it very clearly. It wasn't that he was trying to say something, but he didn't know how to express himself. He expressed himself very clearly. That those who deny the supremacy of Krishna, who say that the ultimate absolute truth is not a person, they are called Mayavadis, because they think that Krishna, the supreme absolute truth, is a product of Maya. In this way, they are offenders to Krishna. The Jaiva Dharma, the ultimate Dharma of the Jiva, is to serve Krishna. But the Mayavadis, they deny that. They say we will become equal with Krishna, which is offensive to Krishna. That denies his supremacy. Even if they say, even if you meet these Mayavadis, they'll say, oh yes, do bhakti, very good. Chant Hare Krishna, very good. They'll say, that's good for you, you're in a lower stage, you do bhakti, then you'll come to a higher stage and then you'll realize that you are God. So they're most poisonous. This destroys bhakti. This idea to become one with God, then where is the service, where is the love? Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi, Krishna, Aparaji, they're all offenders to Krishna. That's why you'll find throughout his books, again and again, he's always smashing all their stupid ideas, ridiculous ideas, that we are the same as God. We are God. Then why are you suffering in this material world, becoming a hog, eating stew? That is my leela. What a rascal thing to say. God is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. And they're saying God is eating stew. It's very offensive. Everything they say is offensive. And meaning, there's no logic. They say everything is ultimately all one. How is everything all one? We don't see everything is all one. I'm not you, and you are not me. If you are hungry and I eat, it doesn't mean that you become not hungry. You have to eat yourself. So they do what is called word jugglery. They use the word vyavahara, because there's some practical consideration of difference.
So, but that means then, what about the other parts? Like, let's say they are worshipping Shiva or other forms of God.
Well, that means you don't understand.
No, see, I'm talking of Mayavadis. Mayavadis are different in personality.
Hare Krishna.
Now I'm talking of those people who worship other, let's say, Om Namah Shivaya, or they have some other mantras which are.
What does Krishna say about this? Krishna says in Gita, Antavattu Valante Shankar Bhavat Yaltamedasam, those who worship different gods, they're foul. They're worshipping for getting something. but that is antabat, that is temporary. Therefore, they are alpha-metata, small intelligence.
Expecting some material gain.
They're worshipping for material gain, therefore they're of small intelligence. Kama istaistai kritajnana prapadyantena devata. Kritajnana means nashta buddhi. Their intelligence is spoiled. They're trying to enjoy this material world by worshipping demigods. They're fools, in other words. That's what Krishna says. I didn't say it. Krishna's verdict. Now, they may be very learned in Shastra, but if you have the wrong conclusion, then what's the use? Just like if you're brilliant in mathematics, but you think that 1 plus 1 equals 3, you can do very complex, you know, all the calculus and everything, inside out, upside down, but you don't know basic arithmetic, then your calculations are going to be all wrong. You can be a great chess player, but if you lose every game, then you're very intelligent, but what's the point? What's the use? So you may be learned in Shastra, or you may be learned in anything, but if you don't know the purpose of life is to serve Krishna, then you miss the point, and a miss is as good as a mile. Many people ask me this, therefore I wrote a book. You can read the book. You can read the book. First impressions, continuing impressions. Chakudana Diloje, Jonme Jonme Prabhushe, Dabogyan Hride Prakashito. We sing to Prabhupada, who has given me the gift of sight, chakudan, that means chakshu, the gift of seeing, transcendental vision. Janme Janme Prabhushe, he is my master birth after birth. Dibbo Gyan Hride Prakashito, he manifests transcendental knowledge within the heart. So it's not just first impression, continuing. What is that continuing impression? That spiritual master is accepted because he is a servant of Krishna. He guides me to serve Krishna. It's not like you see, there are some foolish stories that spiritual master touches the disciple and there's some electric current and then he's enlightened. It's all some kind of medieval science fiction story. But the spiritual master instructs according to Shastra. And the disciple follows. In this way he learns how to serve Krishna. We don't find Shukadeva Goswami touch Parikshit Maharaj with electric shocks. He spoke to him Bhagavata. Parikshit Maharaj inquired. This is the process. Hearing, serving.